There's the natural realm of God as creator, and then there's the spiritual realm as God as savior. And so as savior in the spiritual realm, we as believers submit to him because he is our Lord. He is our savior. We give him a spiritual submission because of his work of grace in our hearts. But even an unbeliever can recognize the creator of the natural kingdom. Recognize that we are a created being. We're not the creator. We're created. Therefore, it is our obligation to submit to the headship of our creator. That's natural law. You go back and read, you know, these books that we have on the table. I don't know how many of you have gotten them or not, but the book on, so many of them, John Locke's book on the Second Treatise of Government, Rutherford's book that we have every Sunday on the table, all speak repeatedly and thoroughly regarding the natural law of God over creation and man as a created being and the world as a creation of God and the responsibility of the created being to honor and acknowledge the Creator and to give him due respect and due honor and due submission as a created being. So this is something that, this is where I think a lot of Christian pastors really miss it. They talk about the spiritual submission to our Redeemer a lot. And then they tend to apply that spiritual relationship as Redeemer that we have as Christians to the unbelieving world. And that's where they lose touch with reality. You can't expect a natural man to have spiritual discernment. The Bible is very clear. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual principles of God are not going to be made manifest to a person until he's spiritually born again. And then the spiritual truths will illuminate his heart. Until then, he's in darkness spiritually. He cannot possibly grasp the spiritual light as an unbelieving individual. So for these preachers are, you know, they constantly talk about the spiritual submission to the lordship of Christ and all these things that we know as believers is true. But in the natural world, among men who do not know Christ, we have to communicate to them on the natural level as their created being and their submission to their creator. If you cannot get a man to respect his creator as creator, how in the name of common sense are you going to get a man to respect a savior and a redeemer? They cannot possibly understand the redeemer without understanding the creator. That's why there's so much emphasis, mostly in the Old Testament, on creation. That's what the Sabbath was all about, was honoring the creation of God, honoring God's act of creation. The whole law revolved around the creative act of God. Jesus came, fulfilled the law, went to the cross, took our sins, did everything that could be done to satisfy the law of God and in the Old Testament and the prophets. He rose from the dead, victorious over all of it, and now he gives us a new covenant, a covenant that is not based upon the law of God under Moses, but it is a new covenant that God has given us through his death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel, which is built around grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer. So now we have a creator over the natural world. Now we have a Savior over the spiritual world. If you're dealing with the spiritual man, you've got to relate it to spiritual truth. If you're dealing with the natural man, you have to relate it to natural truth. And that's what the church hasn't done for probably 100 years in our country. And that's why most of the people that we're trying to reach and communicate with, they're not getting it. There's no light going on. If you give them the light of the natural law through the act of creation and God as creator, our entire form of government in this country, everything about our legal system as it was originally intended and implemented was predicated on natural law. Natural law. Our founding fathers understood natural law completely. The believers understood it, and the unbelievers understood it. How could you get George Washington and Thomas Jefferson in the same room with a harmonious spirit, with the same cause, the same objective? Think about it. How in the world could you get men of great faith on the one hand, and other men like Jefferson, even though he called himself a Christian in the fact that he was a follower of the teachings of Christ, he denied the deity of Christ. Benjamin Franklin identified himself as a deist. I'm not sure that he would fit that definition as it's modernly applied. I've read the autobiography of Franklin, and even though he calls himself a deist, he's the same one that stood up in the Second Continental Congress and talked about the need for the assembly going to prayer, asking God for divine guidance. How can we expect that this nation could rise without his aid and all of that? That was from the deist, so-called, or self-professed, Ben Franklin. How are you going to get these guys together to come up with a constitutional form of government that everyone could, well, for the most part, support? The Anti-Federalists couldn't support it at first because they didn't have a Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights was the answer to the objections, properly so, given by the Anti-Federalists. How could they do that? Can you imagine getting these kinds of men together in a room to come up with a governing document today? Good luck with that. You can't even get people to come together for any kind of a church business meeting with any kind of harmony and unity. Why could they do it? They had a thorough understanding of natural law. And in the natural kingdom, which is what a constitutional government is, it's in the natural kingdom of man, they were able to implement the laws of the Creator in our founding documents, including our Bill of Rights, all of which are founded in natural law of our Creator. Have I lost you? Okay. That's how important this is. And that's what we're missing. And you talk to the average pastor today about natural law, A, they've never heard of it, they've never read anything about it, and if they have any kind of a reaction to it outside of the deer in the headlight stare of ignorance, it's mostly a repudiation of it because that's what they've been taught in seminary. That's what their religious elders have to, oh, well, the writings of Locke and Montesquieu and, you know, we don't need that. Ignorance, which has resulted in a almost irrelevant church. Almost irrelevant. When it comes to governing, when it comes to practical leadership, the church is all but irrelevant. Because they're trying to relate the Redeemer and the spiritual world to a natural world in which the Creator and the laws of nature prevail, and that's where they come short, and that's why the other side, the natural side, it doesn't compute with them. They don't get it. Oh, you're just trying to cram religion down my throat, is what they say. But when you talk to them about natural law, unless they are totally given over to rebellion against their Creator, which a lot of people are in their heart, But unless they are given over to rebellion against their Creator, not the Redeemer, their Creator, if they're not given over to rebellion against the Creator, if they have a God-fearing heart, what I'm talking about tonight will resonate with them. This is one of the reasons why we have so many people that do not call themselves believers that follow Liberty Fellowship, that watch our messages, and are inspired to action relative to what I'm saying here tonight. And after they listen to the gospel for a while, as well as the teaching of natural law that we bring, it's only right and fitting that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts, because it's already open, and the Lord would convict them. And how many times have I read a letter on Sunday morning about someone who's been following us who wasn't a believer, but after a period of months or even years, they came to know Christ as Savior after listening to us. Think what could happen in our country if the majority of the pastors of our churches were doing this. Instead of all this kindergarten, spoon-feeding, feel-good, emotional claptrap that they're giving people, which the people out there in the world who look at that go, "Nah, you got to be kidding me," unless they are prone to, they want to go and just get a good dose of spoonful of sugar, makes the medicine go down. If that's what drives you, then yeah, man, Joel Osteen is your guy. But that's not what changes society. It's not what builds society.